Us in every good wish. It's true, David Coleman, it's true, isn't it, that here he is, his mum is at home with MS and he is his big inspiration and help, a girlfriend who he loves, obviously a sister looking after him, the strength of women around you, I know that myself, how important it is, but he with one leg gone from that awful accident, and yet, did you meet him outside?
I didn't get time, rushing.
Oh yeah, I was all rushing around. But a complete energy ball.
I met his sister-in-law to be, who was lovely.
Amy, to be.
Well, I think he's not yet married, sure, isn't he?
No, this is, but he's feeling the pressure from the moment. You know,
it's only a matter of time.
But, you know, when people hear people like Martin on the radio, they kind of go, oh, okay, well, look, you know, I got two legs.
You know, and whoever was saying that they were nearly crying, like, the last week, I don't know what's been happening, but I tell you, I've been in tears. I was watching just loads of different things, but I was sitting out there listening and had to, of course, struggle to keep the radio on outside. But, jeepers, you're absolutely, he's such an inspiration. And it's just, you know, what I just thought was amazing, you know, he said he cried the first day of the physiotherapy, and then the next day, you know, he went back after that and thought, you know, actually there's no other way, just get on with it, move it forward, and he liked the fact then there were goals, and it was a great story, sense of achievement, and
and humorous with it.
Yeah,
I love that. It's like to have a laugh with it along the way, which is super. Okay, David Coleman, obviously, in case you're wondering, who is that man he's talking to?
It's strange, man.
Strange man. But you've got your winter woolies on already.
I did. Well, it was that kind of day.
It's not as cold, though. It looks colder than it is. Not that cold.
Yeah, but emotionally it felt cold. But you know what it is? It's the time of year. I hate getting up in the dark and leaving in the dark. And, you know, to get up here now for this ridiculous hour of the morning from Clare, I had to leave in the pitch dark this morning. And I just thought, you know, I need something to mind my soul, so put new winter woolies on.
Do you suffer from seasonal adjustment disorder?
I'm not far off it. That's not quite why I was crying, I think. Emotional, but anyway, something different. But
what happens is it's the seasons are adjusting, it's getting dark, and your spirits are not that they're low, but your whole vibe is just one.
I'm a big fan of vitamin D, actually.
You're just erring on the side of sadness rather than happiness.
Well, I think as a nation we do a little bit, but I definitely think that there is something about, you know, when the dark comes in, it is much harder. I mean, we need the light, we need sun, and when we don't get it, even when it's grey days, you know, it makes a difference. So vitamin D, your only
But funny, because what Martin was saying was about, I mean, vitamin D for sure for day to day, but Martin was talking about goals, and I always think, if this time of year, I always think Halloween, and then I think great Christmas, and then it's going to be spring. You always think in those terms, that there's always, I'm always anticipating something.
Well, and you know that piece of dodgy research, whoever did it, about you know, men need to get out twice a week to meet their mates. But there's something in it.
Do you think so?
Oh, I do, because over the summer it's easier. I do a bit of sailing, and so I sail maybe twice a week. So I'm with a bunch of people twice a week, and I have to say, maybe that's why my mood is better. And now it's the winter, it's like, well, sailing slows down.
You just don't
have the same opportunity to get out and hang out with people.
I do think it's key, though. I have to say, at least once a week, you've got to go out and meet whoever, whether it's the brothers or the lads or whoever it might be, but just to talk about stuff that isn't work or...
That isn't, you know, kind intense. Of intense. That's it. You need to, because and life gets pretty intense.
Can't
and,
it?
You know.
We've got loads of questions for you. We're going to get to them straight after this break. Yeah, we were just talking about Ryan's random visits.
Ryan's random visits.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto and darts so far.
Really? Because I was down in Kenmare and I was talking to, I was giving a talk down there, and the woman who's organising the talk was saying that she's challenged you to come down to Kenmare now and learn how to Shannos dance around a broom.
I've always been intrigued by that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, let me put you in touch. I'll get Alison on to you.
Yeah.
And we'll get you down to Kenmare then.
Good. I need some dancing lessons for something I'm thinking about down the line.
Her daughters apparently are really good at it. So it's her daughters who teach
Weltons.
Weltons. Weltons.
W-H-E-L-T-O-N.
In Kenmare.
She's actually a Scouser.
She'll quite happily say she's a Scouser. Total Scouser.
And learn to Shannos dance.
No, her daughters know how to Shannos dance.
Okay, they'll teach me.
To dance around the broom.
We'll do the show there from down there then.
Down in Kenmare,
yeah. We haven't done a show from Kenmare. It's been a while since we've been down that part of the world.
The Brennans might put you up in the park.
They will too. They would, and I could give them a tip or two on how to run a hotel properly. A bit of hospitality. Stop bossing them around, will you? That's what I'd be saying.
Get back on the bus.
I bet you remember that. Get back on the bus, all of you. Oh, put down the bingo cards, ladies. 51552, David.
Yes.
Now, let's talk
more
about
serious
some
matters.
Yes. My 8-year-old is playing with a group of girls, and they're getting into the classic mean girls exclusion behaviour. She's not a shrinking violet by any means, but she doesn't really know how to deal with it. I mean, that is a tough time. 8 years old and getting the brush off.
Sometimes what you might want to do in those situations is see if you can kind of divide and conquer. So see, is there any one girl or maybe two girls within that group who your daughter is perhaps friendlier with, and see if you can organise for your daughter to hang out with just the one or just the two. And that sometimes can strengthen the friendship enough that that actually gets your daughter over the hump of being the spare wheel in the group, or the one who's slightly ostracised within the group. So that's one way of doing it. It doesn't always work. The other way is you can certainly, you know, encourage your daughter to be realistic and to just say, this is not about her. That's just the way some girls get, and encourage other friendships outside that. Or she could even try and chance her arm and say it. Say she's feeling left out and ask them, why aren't they including her in different things? Now, that's very difficult for nature. But if you say she's not a shrinking violet, and if she has that sense of perhaps self-confidence,
that, or that vocabulary.
Her, yeah. And you can talk to her about that. But ultimately, you know, that's the nature of friendship. Some friendships come and go, and you know, if you're being excluded, you're being excluded. And unless there's an adult there, perhaps, who can make the group, you know, include everybody, which is the other way to go. If it's happening in school, for example, it might be that the teacher can actually coordinate things maybe during the break times to make sure everybody gets included.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a difficult one, all right.
Lee says, in Cork, I have two teenagers in the house, mostly well-behaved, very little drama, but I have a huge issue with the way they talk to their friends and each other, the language they use and how they're always slagging each other off and bad-mouthing their best friends. Faggot is a word, a favourite with my teenage boy. I know he doesn't mean it in an abusive way. He's desensitised to the word now, but I cringe every time I hear it. He'd never say it to my face, but I hear him on the phone and in the house with his friends just joking. He won't listen to me when I tell him he mustn't use it. Also, my daughter is starting to become quite bitchy with her friends. She was always talking about them behind their backs and all pally to their faces. I know it's just a girly thing, but I'm afraid she'll lose her great friends. Any advice?
I never know quite what to say, because if you make a big deal, particularly in the teenage years, about language, whatever about early on, you might want to just say, you know, we don't use words like that, or we don't speak like that to younger children, and they get it, and they generally, again, tone down their behaviour. But again, you see, they're not really speaking like that to her. They're not, you know, they're not treating their family in that way. And so what they are doing, though, of course, is just fitting into their peer group as they see their peer group developing. So if this is what their mates are doing, it's also what they're doing. And so it's very difficult to say, you know, be completely different, you know, use a different kind of language, don't speak in this way, don't be dismissive, don't be whatever, if that's what their mates are doing. And I think, again, as long as everybody who's within that group feels that this is just the way we do our business and nobody means harm by it, it's fine. But you know, I mean, sometimes it does take, though, that situation where you do alienate somebody, or you do really frustrate or annoy or piss off your best friend, and they do say, that's enough now, I'm not having this.
Yeah.
That you then realise, actually, there comes a point at which, you know, a bit of mocking or a bit of joking becomes something hurtful, and so there is a line that can be crossed. So, I mean, I think as a parent, all you can do is point out that there is a line there and they may cross it, but you can't control their behaviour in terms of how they interact with their friends.
It's funny enough, on cursing, whatever age, I'd be inclined to be very, you know, just, I know you know what a curse word is, and I know you probably use it when I'm not there, but I don't want to ever hear you using. Is that a fair?
Yeah, but I mean, that's what it sounds like is happening in this family.
But if I overheard, my daughter for saying, calling somebody a faggot or something on the air, on the phone, confusing my life and my real and private Ryan. But I would be down on it. I have to say, and say, no, not that's not going to roll with. Not if you want to do it, and I can't hear you, I'm not going to. No, anyway.
Exactly,
but
what you
not on my watch.
Yeah, which is fine, because I think you're right, because as a parent, it's really important that we express our values, what we believe in, what we think is right, what we think is wrong, so that our children at the very least have a starting point, so that they have some moral blueprint that they can choose to follow or not follow. And if we don't give it to them, then they have no sense of anything stable or secure or clear about how to treat other people. But ultimately, you know, we can't control them when they're with their friends. So all we can do is exactly like you're saying, like that mum is saying, is just address it when they hear.
When you can. Here's one. I spent the whole weekend driving my 11-year-old daughter here, there and everywhere. I didn't get a minute to myself. I sound like a horrible mum, but I think she should be independent enough to get the bus to swimming or to her friend's house. My husband, on the other hand, thinks she should be brought to the door of everywhere she goes. I see his point, obviously, but I think a little bit of freedom will do her the world of good. Her friends walk to school, but we live that bit further away. I wouldn't mind her getting the bus, but she won't hear of it. What do you think, David? Am I being too cruel? Alice.
You know, it's different strokes for different folks, and I suppose it's about whether or not this is about the mum's frustration or whether it's about meeting the daughter's needs. And if the daughter needs to actually become independent, if she is over-reliant on her mum and dad, then yes, absolutely, a little bit of independence and a little bit of responsibility will do her good. 11, you know, lots of people tell you 11, they feel is still too young for a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And yet depends on the community, depends on your own upbringing. You know, there are other 11-year-olds who are making lots of choices and decisions on their own behalf as they're given lots of freedom and independence. So, you know, it has to be what's comfortable, and ultimately it has to be what's comfortable for the mum and the dad. So this is a fight that this mum needs to have with her husband, and they really need to have it out and say, look, you know, where are we at? And find out who's the boss. But find out, you know, what can they actually agree on that does, you know, begin that shift? Because certainly over the next 7 or 8 years, ultimately it is a case for that daughter that she does have to be allowed to have more freedom so that she can become more responsible and practice using responsibility. So it's something that they'll have to develop, but it's about finding the right time, the right occasion, the right journeys to be making, for example, rather than the mum just thinking, well, here I am a glorified taxi and I'm tired of it.
Yeah,
that's not necessarily the best reason to not do it.
Taxis, taxi drivers, ATMs. This is welcome to modern parenthood. This is what we do. You know, I mean, not modern, it's been ever thus, really, but certainly as I'm drifting into that zone, I can see, now I see where they're waiting for the door to close. I've been meaning to get in touch with the wild for a while now, but I have to get some advice. Two boys, age 9 and 11. And they started calling myself and my husband by our first names. I used to think that was hilarious. There were two kids near where I used to live, and they called them. Honestly, I thought they were like fun-sized people going to a dinner party. I couldn't believe that they called them by their first names, you know. Anyway, this is just since the summer. Friends of theirs call their parents by their names rather than mum and dad, and they think it's really cool and grown up. I hate it, says Elaine from New Ross. They know to call me mum when they want something or when they've done something wrong. But when we're out in the shops, there's nothing worse than hearing Elaine being roared down an aisle by a 9-year-old boy. My husband doesn't really mind. He thinks it's funny and they'll grow out of it. But I think it's disrespectful. What can I say to...
Brilliant. What the mum could do, if she really doesn't like it, is just refuse to respond whenever they call her by her first name. Just literally refuse to respond. Just ignore them entirely.
Not even
do that.
Talk to the hand.
Don't even acknowledge that they've spoken.
Oh, don't even acknowledge that.
And they'll pretty soon realise that you're only going to, it's a bit like behavioural training, they'll learn that you're only going to be responsive to the word mum, and you'll train them back into it.
Sounds good. There's a website I'm enjoying more and more recently, along with the journal. This part of it's called the Daily Edge, and they have just talked about 13 board games that were guaranteed to start a row. I love this headline.
So not every board game.
I don't know if it's an order, but Game of Life gets a mention.
Never played that.
Cluedo, Connect Four, Frustration, Trivial Pursuit, Operation, Guess Who, Jenga, Sorry, Buckaroo, Mousetrap, Monopoly, and Pictionary. The answer.
How does Connect Four end up in a row? Connect Four has the simplest rules. Somebody goes first, then it's after that it's up to your skill and ingenuity and cleverness.
There's always somebody who wakes up in the day, and you know one of them in your life, and they wake up looking for a row. And they should, you know those people? There's always one. And even if you're playing Snap, there'll be a row. And even if the sun is shining, they'll say it's too hot.
See, Snap,
and if
it's not Snap, shining... Snap, I can see how there'll be a row, because it's like somebody cheats, you know? It's like they know what's coming next. They have
stack
a little
it,
look under the
it,
card,
stack
you know?
Stack
but,
it.
But with Connect Four, the rules are so simple.
I know.
Clear rules, no fights.
It's not. It makes no sense. David, thank you for now. And I look forward to playing Connect Four with you next week.
Dan and Ken Mayer.
Dancing in Ken Mayer.